This is Weekends with Jason Olbourn on today's News Talk, TNT.
And we're back here for the second hour. I'm going to have with me Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show as we bring you the latest breaking information that's coming out from the Middle East. And I'm just going to read off here. Germany has now told its citizens to get out of Israel, not to go to Iran. Turkey has warned the US not to use its airspace. Hezbollah has made claims and taking responsibility for sending 40 missiles into Israel that haven't hit any targets, which is odd. We're going to find out what's going on there. And WION News in India is reporting that Tehran has warned of attacks on US bases. So we're going to keep going with what's happening here. And our own David McBride will be joining us in a few minutes' time to continue with the updates that he's picking up. And if you know David, he's the Australian military lawyer, whistleblower, currently facing sentencing for exposing Australian war crimes. So we're not mincing our words here at all. But right now I've got Dave Hodges, who's been since the last hour on the show from the Common Sense Show, explaining some incredible information for all of our benefit. Dave, before the break, I was talking about this idea of controlling messages, and you said you had some more information.
Yeah, the technology is real. It was developed by what we call DARPA, which is basically the manufacturer for new technology for the military and our intelligence agencies. And I have a background in psychology. I taught it a number of years at the post-secondary level and postgraduate level. And so I know a fair amount about this, and I've come across some of the research on mind control technology. It's only, let's put it this way, it doesn't work in an estimated 25 to 40% of the cases. And the reason is because there's so much variability in human cognitive function that it's hard for them through a single action to completely read your thoughts, to control your thoughts, control your action, because there's so much variability in the human species with regard to cognition. The best they could hope for is about 75% control or 75% ability to read thoughts. But even that is colored by context. And I'm going to put people's mind at ease to some degree. We learned this through hypnosis, that people generally will not violate their own moral code. So you could be hypnotized and someone says, okay, now go rob the store, shoot the clerk and steal the money, and then forget you did it. If that's not in someone's moral genre, they won't do it. We call that perceptual defense. The same thing applies to the mind control that would come out of this technology about reading thoughts. The only caveat I would have here, though, if you could change the context and if you could make someone believe that they would have to act violently to save their family or their life, you might be able to get them to do those things. But you'd have to change the context dramatically. And on a universal basis with an entire population, that's just not possible. I think these people, to some degree, are barking up the wrong tree. I think they're going to learn more about what people are thinking by looking at social media posts than they are trying to read thoughts. It's an inexact science, is what I'm saying.
Well, that provides us with a little bit of relief, therefore, that what we're seeing with this technology, that it's certainly far from imperfect. What's frightening, though, is when you layer it in with artificial intelligence, and therefore this, again, this seeding of control, humans, we're supposed to live in an egalitarian planet. Just taking simple notes, freedom appears to be the enemy of government when it sells you safety and convenience, but it also peddles the term inclusion, which technically means freedom equally for everyone. Yet when you scratch the surface, there is no egalitarianism, equality in a system. It's entirely a hierarchy. And many people look at it perhaps not from a religious spirituality, but from spirituality in general. And they'll talk about, for example, that we are in the dying days of the age of Pisces as we enter the age of Aquarius. Now people think, oh, that's just a bit of la-di-da. But what it's characterized by is the age of Pisces is considered to be the the vertical dissemination of information. That is, it's filtered down from a source from above us. It's a hierarchy. Whereas the age of Aquarius is characterized by a horizontal dissemination of information, which means that you have a flat system and everybody has access to everything, which if you think of it, that would be the pure internet, the dissemination of thoughts without censorship. And so the opposite is here. So as we bring in this particular system, the controlling mechanism of the hierarchy uses all of its power, all of its resources, all of its money to shore up as much of its power and control that it can do and implement these ideas here and thought control and planting seeds, and it muddies the area. So it seems that whichever way we look at the scenarios that are going on, Dave, we're getting eaten alive by power each and every single time. It has to collapse one way or another. So we're faced with what we're seeing right now, these machinations happening as we speak, the tensions with Iran and Israel. And as you said, in the last hour, you need to keep a scorecard. And that's what I was hoping that we could do, just to bring our viewers, listeners up to speed now, just to explain how your intuition is reading the scenario as we've reported so far.
Well, how far they're going to carry this, I don't know. I mean, clearly, everything is lined up for things to explode. This is kind of like World War I Archduke Ferdinand moment. Mm. And I do think that the possibility for this to explode is real, but we've been at this point before and it didn't happen. But if you got a moment to indulge me, I'll give you my personal spiritual belief, but I'll tell you too, in Christian eschatology, this is being hotly debated. I'll go back 32 years. I met a man who used to be in the NSA and with NATO, and they were told in their briefing the story of Genesis 6 in secular terms. Good guys and bad guys fought in the cosmos. Bad guys lost. They were cast here. They interbred with earth women. Now, that would be what we call the Nephilim in the Bible. But if you go to Genesis 6 and read it all the way through, a lot of people thought the flood wiped out the fallen angels, as they're called, that were cast down by the Lord after they were defeated. And when you read the passages more carefully, it says in verse 4, and they were there after the flood. And so the belief of a lot of pastors now here in America, and it's something I believe for about 5 years now, that the Nephilim, there's two DNA on this planet. They look human, but there's different DNA, and they get human conscripts to carry out their will. But when they came here, this is what my NSA friend was taught. He said they wanted to capture the human soul, but they didn't have the technology. Now, this is 1992. He said, so they decided to morph the human being into not being a human to get back at God. That's really interesting because that's transhumanism. And transhumanism in 1992 wasn't even a term. But my friend wrote this in a book after he separated from the service. And he describes this perfectly. And I think this is a spiritual war. At the base level of everything going on the planet, we have Russia, China, America, we got the geopolitics. But I think at the baseline of this, it's Team Jesus versus Team Satan. And that's how I tend to think of this. And I think the Bible's behind me on this. And there's a lot of pastors like Dr. Michael Lake, who's very big in America, Paul Begley, who believe the same thing. I just did a conference with him in Dallas last week. And I think this is ultimately what we're looking at. These people want massive death and destruction, and they want to consolidate the planet and gain control before the second coming. And there's a whole lot more to this story I could bring in, but that's the short version.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Dave, because once again, what's happening, as we explained earlier, when you watch people's changing in real life on social media. And I guess that's the point of social media. from the social perspective, those that are able to step back or have the 20,000, 40,000 foot view of what they're seeing. Like I was telling you, it was this mass movement that changes in real time. And of course, it's become quite spiritual, looking for a deeper understanding of what's going on. Because if you just absorb the facts of the moment, you're kind of told to pick a side. And what we've seen here in Australia, another interesting development was that Australia's Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, came out and surprised people last week by saying that she supported a Palestinian state. And it was immediately met with incredible criticism. And that criticism was explaining, well, hang on a second, you're supporting a terrorist state here. So this is a major leap forward from an Australian policy perspective. So once again, the divide is opening up, not dissimilar to an artificial earthquake, opening up the land to cause mass problems. And so you can't help but come back and trying to get a greater perspective. There was a terrific episode of the Y Files, for those that watch it on YouTube, explaining the origins of humanity as it is today, as told from the Anunnaki perspective. And many people get some sort of idea of what that whole story, whether you want to relate it back to the Bible or other particular stories. And there seems to be, when you go back, say, 15,000 years, and there's the modern period, but then there's this ancient period that goes back perhaps millions of years, where there was intelligence that came from another planet, is effectively the story, coming here to mine gold to save its planet, etc. It's quite detailed. These stories or myths, if you will, are often based on the Zechariah Sitchin particular story. But then when you look at the modern era and the work that Michael Tellinger has done in South Africa at Adam's Calendar to explain what's going on there with the archaeological evidence that he's found. You look at perhaps Andrew Collins and the work on Göbekli Tepe, which challenges the current narrative of what's going on. And you start to realize that this perhaps, if you will, Dave, a third narrative starts to look like it has real merit to explain how it is that humans can't agree on their own, how we got here, whether it was belief, whether it was Adam and Eve, or whether it was evolution and an ape standing up on two feet one day and saying, well, that's it, we're here. It's so confusing, and it's no wonder that people are corralled. But you'd have to think that in this bigger picture of seeing what's going on here, one who wants to ask said questions ought to be entitled to ask and not be ridiculed or punished for asking these questions, because we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, there's an inherent evil that's going on behind this globalist movement. If you just look at the concept of smart cities and what they have published in what we call the C40 cities in America that support it, you can't travel, can't own a gun, can't have a car, they'll limit your childbearing, they'll tell you what you can and cannot eat, you'll get caloric restrictions on. I mean, you get to a point, this is just plain evil. And it's really my belief that if we're correct, there is a second DNA, the fallen angels, and if they are in the minority numerically, but they have assumed control, they want to wipe out as much humanity as possible. You see, if you look at the Bible, they say we're God's creation. They can't get the soul, so they get the humans and wipe them out. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says if Jesus didn't return the second time, there would be nothing left alive. And I think that's their ultimate goal. But they can't come out and say we're going to exterminate all of you, because we'd rise up and stop it. So they got to do things like poison the food, poison the air, poison the water, and engage in wars. And the idea is to depopulate. And if you start to look at the lens of depopulation and look through that lens at what's going on, things start to make a lot more sense.
This is absolutely the same argument I've had all along, Dave, and I find it incredibly frustrating that we can't make that case. But I mean, all roads lead to it. I mean, you've only got to look at Bill Gates telling us that if we get the vaccine story right, and the argument being that if people are healthy, they have less children, that we'll be able to reduce the population of the planet. But when you have a compliant scenario with the WHO, self-appointed rulers of what goes under your skin, telling us to take a particular medicine for a virus that they refuse to get to the bottom of where it came from, with the FBI agreeing that this thing was man-made, therefore, but absolute lack of will to get there. One wonders how it is that you can't arrive at the scenario that you just painted, that we are looking down the barrel of a depopulation event. There was the The fellow, I can't, his first name escapes me, Meadows, who was one of the original Council on Foreign Relations advisors, I think it was some 20 or 30 years ago. There's a video floating around on the internet. Dennis Meadows is his name, and I encourage people to check that out. You'll find it on X. And he says that he believes, and this is part of Council on Foreign Relations, that the population of Earth should be between 1 and maybe 2 billion people. This is close to what we saw in the Georgia Guidestones, 500 million people. And his attitude, Dave, was simply that he said, I hope that that this happens, that it will be fair and peaceful.
Yeah, well, Ted Turner, who donated $50 million to the UN, and he's a big broadcast mogul in the United States, he's come out and said we need to reduce the population of the world by 90% by any means possible. And that's a common quote. I've actually published articles where I've taken the quotes. In fact, actually, David Spangler, who was in charge of the Eco Division for the United Nations, said no one will enter the New World Order without pledging an allegiance to Lucifer. And they don't hide it. They say it, but somehow we just continue to miss it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now we are going to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side and explore what's going on. And I just want to make this point that if you're watching mainstream news at this, you would be seeing it. You'd be seeing over and over again 15-second clips of ships moving or a missile firing, and the same story repeated over and over again. But have you noticed the difference here on TNT? We are being able to paint the picture underneath to therefore build a foundation, a platform to understand why it is that we're witnessing these ridiculous scenarios where the powers that be that tell you to take a medicine to protect someone else have got no problem when the solution doesn't work, and they've got no problem when they're throwing threats around the world and are happy to blow us all up for reasons that most of us cannot even fathom. And that's why you're watching TNT Radio. I'm just going to read something off, take the break, and we'll come straight back. Did you know that there are many ways that you can actually watch or listen to TNT? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on X, YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's Rick Munn.
Surely basic common sense should overrule any need for any report when it comes to this. I mean, is this the only time in history that a report would even be needed or be commissioned and take 4 years to write? To stop mutilating children, to stop messing around with their puberty and with their development, to stop indoctrinating them and assisting them to destroy their bodies before even the age of 18 in some cases. Surely that's basic common sense. At no other point in history, certainly that I'm aware of, in the United Kingdom or Ireland, has this been facilitated before. It's only been in the last, decade or so that this has started to become a thing that doctors and teachers and parents and politicians have actually gotten behind and encouraged.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7, your news talk giant, TNT.
Yeah, welcome back to TNT, and welcome back to this particular special coverage today. Dave Hodges is with me from the other side of the planet in the US, and we're reporting together on what we're seeing at the moment. And we're going to get David McBride, Australian former military lawyer, on the show in just a moment. But I've got some more breaking news. It's actually unrelated. This is a shocking news out of Sydney and actually in Bondi Junction. And I'm just going to read what I'm seeing in front of me right now. A major police operation is underway at Sydney's Westfield Bondi Junction after multiple people were killed on Saturday afternoon. New South Wales police were unable to confirm eyewitness reports. Up to four people had been stabbed and gunshots had been fired. NCA Newswire understands that there have been multiple casualties. an early investigation suggests it was random. We'll bring you more information as we get it, but the world is going crazy at the moment. Goodness me, I can't explain what we're seeing at the moment, Dave, but we are right in the thick of it here on Saturday afternoon here in Australia and Friday evening where you are in the West Coast or in Arizona, in fact, in the US, Dave.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on all over the planet right now. And I don't know if you've noticed, the violence among young people is intensifying. This is something we're dealing with in America. You know, we've had brutal murders involving 15-year-old children that are killing each other in the most sadistic ways possible. There is an evil spirit loose on the planet right now. I mean, evil is permeating every part of our society.
I don't disagree with you one bit at all. We have a scenario, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but in the beautiful state of Queensland, our second largest state here in northeastern Australia, we have a youth crime problem that is off the charts. Every single day that you tune into mainstream news, there is a report of a house break-in, someone being attacked, all sorts of violence. The other day, for example, a Subway sandwich shop was smashed open. Thieves got in for only 60 seconds to find an empty till before escaping in a stolen car. This is Australia, remembering, of course, that we don't really have any guns here in the country, but we have a youth crime problem out of control. It looks like the state Labor government has got no chance of being re-elected in the upcoming elections this year, perceived an R or a soft on crime, of course. But so it's not isolated. But when you see a crime wave happening in Australia, you know that there is something really, really wrong with the way that the world is.
It truly is. And it goes back to the fact that I really believe we're in a spiritual warfare. And it's expanding by the moment. But, you know, you got to fight the enemy where you find them. When we say it's a spiritual war, we can pray, we can repent, and we can and practice the Great Commission, bring people to the Lord. But ultimately, too, when you're fighting against this, you have to meet the enemy where they're at. And sometimes that means getting down in the gutter and doing battle with them. And at least in America, we have our guns. I feel badly for the people of Australia going through what they're going through. We're perpetuating lawlessness in America right now, particularly in leftist cities, but we have protections. I can carry a gun, and if my life is threatened, I can legally use the gun. In Australia, what would happen if someone had a gun, had to defend their life? They would be in trouble too because they had the gun. Am I right?
That's right. That's right. That this is the problem, is it, with self-defense? You don't really have a chance. We've seen stories of this recently. Again, in Australia, we had a situation in one of these Queensland youth attacks that an older man was forced to defend himself against two youths. And of course, it's being challenged. But what was interesting that I recognized some people I know that have got police career, retired police, who were getting on and explaining the self-defense rules, explaining that this particular individual who defended himself with a knife was perfectly entitled to do so. So that provides you with some level of confidence that you are able to do that. I just want to give people a quick update of developments coming out of the Middle East. Speculation is rife that Iran might soon launch an attack on Israel in response to the bombing of the Iranian consulate in Damascus earlier this month. Such a move could signal a regional escalation of the Gaza conflict, and US President Biden has cautioned Tehran not to go ahead. The Wall Street Journal, meanwhile, has reported that the US is repositioning its warships ahead of any potential attack. Washington has confirmed the movement of missiles at this point. Gaza, five people were killed and more than 30 injured in an Israeli attack on Gaza City. And in the occupied West Bank, Israeli settlers were stormed a settlement, saying that they were looking for a missing boy, killing at least one person and injuring dozens as others opened fire and set homes and other buildings alight. Dave, this is the point I want to get to here. When we talk about Israel and Netanyahu appears to be a bad actor inside this particular spiritual war, we talk about collective punishment of Gazans. We talk about anti-Semitism, which effectively is collective punishment of Jewish people for their connection to Israel. But this is the problem, isn't it? That the wrong people are paying the price for bad people trying to seize power.
Yeah, and they're making victims of innocent people. Let me give you an example. I've learned from my Pentagon sources that AI was directing the combat in Gaza, and the AI was directed to find a Hamas leader, for example, But they didn't want to just kill the Hamas leader. They killed anyone related to him. That includes their children. That includes their acquaintances. And this is, let me give you an example. If you have a family member of a Hamas leader and they're in a school, they're willing to take out the entire school to kill that person. And this is the way the AI has been programmed. And this explains in part why we saw the horrific violence by the IDF when they bombed hospitals and schools and so forth. It's because of this AI programming.
Isn't it interesting, Dave, sorry to cut you off there, but AI is meant to be self-learning. This is the point of it, right? It's artificial intelligence. But when you mentioned that it's programmed, it means that it has to launch from a starting point. So therefore, if this is what it's actually been programmed to do, it can only build from that. You wonder, therefore, can AI go against the system? What happens when AI realizes, becomes self-aware and goes, hang on a second, we don't want to do this. But then wouldn't AI's own interests be AI? And therefore, it's only going to use these instructions to harm the human beings if it's being used in warfare, as you've described.
10,000 scientists last year that were working on development of AI wrote a letter of concern to Joe Biden saying that we're letting AI sentient abilities go too far. And Biden ignored it. And yes, if you carry this out to its logical conclusion, AI one day, well, I'll give you an example. Moore's Law says we increase our knowledge with computers every 18 months. With AI, it's about every 18 minutes. And as a consequence, pretty soon AI will have as much in common with human beings as we do with ants. And they could look at us as a nuisance that's in the way. And I've looked at some scenarios. How would AI get rid of humanity? And a lot of people think it'll be through bioweapons because it won't affect them. But if you also look at it another way too, what do the globalists want to do? They want transhumanism. What's transhumanism? The melding of mind and machine. And that kind of puts them in the same category as the AI robots. So this is why they're not afraid of them. And I believe eventually this is another way, another plot by these evil entities to kill off humanity.
I agree with you. I concur with what you're saying. And this is the thing that I've always had a problem. Well, I had a problem with it from the outset, the mark of the beast at the very beginning point. But when you start selling a Neuralink product as the idea that, yes, it's great. We can help quadriplegics walk again. Wonderful. But then when you realize that the next step, and it's no different to performance enhancing drugs used in competitive sport to get an edge, it's kind of a performance-enhancing device to be able to get an edge in the workplace. It only takes one person, perhaps in public office, perhaps Elon Musk himself, to gain a competitive edge, or that one person who takes it for a job to put a chip in their brain, whether they live for 5 years or 50 years afterwards, is irrelevant at that point. But what it does is it creates a process of not just keeping up with the Joneses, but you're forced to do it once again, because if you don't, well, you've got no purpose. But here it is. If AI is being put, or a Google chip is put into your head to have abundant information access, it can only last for one generation, because you would have to think that the AI is going to outpace the learning every 18 minutes. And so it would only ever last one generation of the human being with a chip in their head before the AI is going to defeat them anyway. And those controlling the world would only go down the pathway of going, okay, well, we're the elites. We live in this gated community and we've got the AI robots, defeating all the peasants, so to speak. And we're going to build our Westworld fantasy, which is what we really wanted all along. It seems that there's no other pathway. It could only last one generation of having a performance-enhanced human being before they're superseded by the AI.
Yeah, well, the idea is to get rid of traditional human being.
That's the point,
If you look at what society is embracing in the West, not just in America, but the entire West, the West is glorifying every lifestyle that doesn't end in procreation. I don't care what lifestyle people live, what their sexual preferences are. That's between them and God. It's not for me to judge. But the reality is this, is that they never honor heterosexual. They don't honor families. bearing children. It's all about limiting this and really scorning the family. And that's because they want to bring humanity to an end. I mean, every way you look at this, it comes down to depopulation. For example, in the United States now, it takes 2.1 people being born to maintain your population. The 0.1 is because people die early. But the 2.1 is not being achieved in the West right now. Italy is 1.4. No nation's ever come back from less than 1.8. America is now 1.6. I'm not sure what Australia is, but I think New Zealand's about 1.6. And the entire West is falling into a depopulation mode. And it's absolutely insane what's going on. And for some reason, it's racial. And I'll give you an example. With indigenous Americans, in other words, people that were born here and live here, the birth rate is 1.6. But with the tens of millions of illegals that have been brought to our country in the last several decades, their reproduction rate is 5.4. I mean, people say there's no such thing as replacement theory. I beg to differ. There is replacement theory. In fact, actually, I read an article today. They said they're going to replace us, the illegals that have come to America, because in a generation, they'll just dwarf us. And as we go into decline, and as we eventually become almost meaningless with our numbers, they take over. But then the thinking was AI will destroy them. And this is something that's actually being put forth by some scientists out there that are now buying into the idea that replacement theory is correct. But have you noticed that, though? Every lifestyle that's glorified by Western governments does not end in procreation.
It's exactly right. And we've seen the same story here. It was Craig Kelly, former member of parliament, who came out last week and quoted something similar on his X page, that for the first time ever we're seeing a birth rate here under two. And I can't recall if it was 1.68 or 1.86, but it's remarkably lower than we expected. And so quickly after this COVID era, and you can't separate that twist there because of what we've seen in terms of the claims that the vaccine was suitable for pregnant women, and now we're seeing miscarriage rates up, we're seeing a lack of fertility, etc. And so it's kind of convenient, isn't it, therefore, that you can have all of these random results, all of which support, as you said, that dreaded, I think it's 10-letter word, depopulation. There's no other way around it, the destruction of humanity one way or another. It's like we've been deliberately weakened over a long period of time, over generations, education standards dropping, etc. The decay of society in many ways. I saw another interesting one the other day, Dave. Somebody made a point, it might have been Jason Kristoff, when he called it the uglification of society, the way that we no longer take pride in our appearance, and we seem to actively work against that, and that therefore becomes the trend. Some people might track it back to grunge music from the 90s and that whole Nirvana look, but it's a lot more than that now that we're seeing. So this points to this whole satanic destruction of the human, destroy, steal, cheat, etc. is the mantra, and we just can't see it for the forest or the trees. But the only way that people do build a resistance is they pick the only side that counts, and that's in a spiritual war, because it can only be God or the devil.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know, you have to understand, I'm slow to criticize people that don't know what's going on, because here in America, the average person can't afford a $400 car repair bill. They're so busy keeping the wolf from the door because this administration is destroying our economy that they don't have time to look at issues and connect the dots. They're too worried about putting food on the table. And that it's deliberate. I mean, this is part of the deliberate takedown of America. And I think they're going to make everything happen at once. I think the banks are going to go down. I think we're going to have civil conflict. I think we'll be in a war. And I think we'll also have a pandemic. I think they're going to do it all at the same time to overwhelm humanity. And the reason they got to overwhelm humanity is because the people that are doing this are numerically inferior, and so they got to pull out all the stops. And do you get the feeling, too, that the globalists are on a timetable? They're in a panic to get things done?
There is absolutely no question they're in a panic to get things done. And it seems that if Donald Trump was to walk back into the Oval Office to win that election in November and walk in January, that their days are over. It's interesting because for some time now, I've thought that that if all the world is a stage and what we're watching is somehow planned or what's going on, the name Kennedy can't be too far away from it. And I have this inkling that RFK Jr., despite the fact that he's playing to win, may one day become Trump's attorney general. And with that that purpose behind him, he's going to be a very, very busy man, solving his uncle and his father's murders officially, solving the origins of COVID, dealing with the fallout from the solution, and then dealing with these criminals in power. He may well become the greatest of all. And what a team that would be. But of course, this is, again, at this stage, it's political fantasy. But the many people that I've spoken to, my sources are telling me that I'm onto something, and to keep watching this space, it's just riveting. But again, this is the great thing. We're born for this. It may be one thing that we don't get to see the end of it. Maybe our purpose, I don't know what it is, but here we are calling events like no one else can do out there in the world, because if you're watching mainstream news, they're probably telling you right now that Joe Biden's in control and he's threatening Iran not to do anything because the word don't is going to be enough. Well, that's not the case. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. David McBride's going to join us. It'll be a three-way discussion, and we're going to bring you more information coming out as France, India, Russia, and the UK have now issued travel warnings. Don't go anywhere. You're watching and listening to Weekends with Jason Olborn here on TNT Radio.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. The type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting innovative companies, and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community, then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, no matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
See, Smokey thinks I'm funny.
Weekends are better when you spend it with us. Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk TNT.
And welcome back to Weekends here on TNT Radio. Well, we're going to ramp up the pace. As you've been watching and listening for the last hour and a bit, Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show out of Arizona has been with me as we're providing updates and analysis of what's happening in the Middle East. Well, now I'm going to be joined by another David, one of our own. David McBride is coming in. And as everyone knows, David is ex-military lawyer, represented both Australia and the UK, an incredible human being. And I tell you what, if you haven't had a chance to get it, you need to get hold of David's autobiography. It is remarkable. It's a great read, and it'll bring you up to speed with what's going on, because at TNT Radio, as much as we're trying to bring the information to you, we already know you're the smartest audience in the world, but it's the details that make all the difference. So let's bring in David McBride, and then we'll bring Dave Hodges back in a moment.
Great to see you, Jason. I'm so happy. Thank you for that rep. And it's I agree. And it's always a joy to be on TNT, because you know the audiences are discerning. You know that the commentators and not pushing any particular barrow. And that is so important in this time, that we have people who can look behind the mainstream media headlines. So no, very happy to be here.
Thanks, David. I just want to give you a quick update here. Iran, according to further reports, is planning to attack Israel. They're saying in the next 24 hours, 9 deadly Iranian missiles that can target Israel and US bases in the Middle East. As we've reported already, France, India, Russia, UK, even Germany issuing travel warnings. And in Australia, Qantas are rerouting their London to Perth flights at the moment. I'm going to bring Dave Hodges in as well here as we enter. This is the final 15 minutes of this particular hour. In the next hour, I'm going to go to New Delhi to Manish Jha, reporter. In fact, he's now the executive editor for TV9 there in India, and he's going to bring us some more reports because India has also issued warnings over what's going on. So to David McBride right now, and just quickly, your analysis of the situation, the flare-ups here, if you've caught what we've been saying in the last few minutes, it seems, as Dave Hodges has said earlier in our interview, that you have to keep a scorecard for what's going on. You can't just say, I'm an American, I'm pro-America anymore. It's so, so confusing, David McBride.
Yes, I quickly just read a good report on Al Jazeera, which I thought summed it up well, and they said, it's all big picture stuff, and you can blame, even though it's Iran and Israel, you can blame what's happening on Biden's policy of saying to Israel, basically, you can do whatever you want. And it's very hypocritical for Biden to say to Iran, don't respond to this attack, because after all, it was an attack that killed three Iranian generals that sparked this, and Biden's saying to Iran, don't respond, but at the same time, they're saying to Israel, or making it clear to the rest of the world, Israel can do whatever it wants. Now, that is a dangerous policy, and the Israelis, of course, are taking advantage of that. It's perfectly acceptable under international law for Iran to respond. So while this, the mainstream media will undoubtedly paint this as an attack, is sort of unprovoked attack by Iran, but actually they've had their people were targeted in Syria, their people were killed in an embassy, and that actually gives them the right under international law to respond. It's all very well for Biden to say don't, but he hasn't said that to Israel, and that means it's a very one-sided affair.
Now, when we analyze deeper here with what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, and of course the earthquake that we saw in Taiwan last week, it was Dave Hodges that suggested with this particular technology. Dave, I just want you to bring that back again and just paint this picture. I think it's just it's worthwhile, because with the turmoil going on here, China sitting in the background, and it's got this incredible opportunity, if you will, that if it wants to make moves, what a time to be able to do it. And then we're going to be in full-blown world war.
Yeah, you know, I referenced earlier a document called Air Force Owning the Weather 2025. It's complete with the patents, a lot of them from defense industries, DARPA, and basically weather weapons and also too earthquake weapons. And I know somebody that left that group, Air Force Owning the Weather 2025, because they wouldn't sign on to using earthquake weapons against civilian populations. And this technology is real. It exists. Many of us here in America have published it on our various websites. And this goes back 5-6 years. This is not new information. And I find it really interesting at this time of high drama that this much of a devastating earthquake would hit Taiwan. It's hard not to look at China and say, did they do that? I don't have any proof, but I think that the timing is suspicious.
Now, David McBride, when you look at it from a military strategic perspective, if China's openly saying it wants a one China policy, that Taiwan belongs to it, it can't just go in and invade. And this is the same situation, this provocation, as you've just alluded to, out of Israel, that the idea that the West paints it as if Israel's the innocent party here, despite the fact that it's taken out three Iranian generals. And as you said, the rules of war provide that Iran can retaliate. Therefore, it seems that everyone's looking for a position to blame the other guy. So you get into this scenario of false flags, et cetera. But if you consider what Dave Hodges has just said right now, can you see that China may well be manipulating for a way, knowing what's coming, that this could be its possibility to get involved and we are at World War III?
Well, having seen what I've seen over the past 10 years, I would agree with Dave Hodges to say that the technology is real. You can't rule anything out. False flags are the modern, it's the rule of the day in modern warfare. And that's why TNT is so important. We need to, this is what I always say when I talk about what was wrong about the war in Afghanistan. It's not about the last war. If we start lying and always lying to the public about what actually happened, who did what, it's about the next war. And yeah, I think there is a very high danger of a false flag attack sparking a war in Taiwan. I don't know. I don't have any information. Dave Hodges sounds like he's very clued up on exactly where that's most likely to come. I'd throw it to him to say, what's the intelligence? But yes, I can see both. I believe the Americans do want a war in Taiwan. It seems to be pushing that way. And my connections in the Australian Defence Force, a bit like the situation we had in Iraq in 2002, before the invasion, it was well known that the military were told, we are going into Iraq, long before all the weapons of mass destruction diplomacy and pantomime played out. It was a planned thing, could be either from China or from the US. It'd be hard. I can't really see, but I'm not an expert on this. Dave Hodges might be. It's not easy for me to see why China would want a war, but maybe they do. I don't know. I can see why the US does, because they unfortunately, whether they win, as we saw in Afghanistan, whether they win or lose, as far as the sort of war goes in conventional terms, they win because it converts huge amounts of public money into private money, going to all the contractors, etc. Yep. Big donations back to political parties, and so generally, if you've got an unlike nation like Iran or like China or like Afghanistan, it's generally quite good for votes to go to war against them, as long as you can get the news sources to play it up and say, oh, they're these bad guys, turban wearing bad guys, communists, whatever the bogeyman is. And you will, it's good for, I think the war in Ukraine was good for Biden's popularity. He lost a lot of popularity over the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I think the people behind him in Washington will be happy, while whatever they say about Israel and Taiwan, I think that a lot of people in Washington will be happy with war anyway. The Ukraine war, they threw so much money at it. It's hard to believe for whatever reason, they didn't think it was a good thing for America.
Now, bringing Dave Hodges in there, Dave, have you got a response, and what is the feeling of the people on the ground? Because it seems the opposite now. It seems that people are sick to the eye teeth of any more conflict involving the US, which is always involved.
Well, if you're talking about the people, I would agree with you. But I think we can say generally Western nations are being governed by a few people who only care about themselves and their donor class. And so to heck with everybody else. And in America, we perpetuate and lengthen wars, I think, because of one major factor. In our U.S. Congress, with regard to the stock market, we've allowed an exception to the rule of insider trading for our representatives, and they can engage in this. In other words, they get a tip or they pass legislation saying, you know, we're going to go to conflict with whatever, and they have stock in the defense industry. The longer the conflict goes on, the more money they make. And this really exacerbates conflict. So, yes, the people are sick of what's going on. I agree. They're sick of the nonsense, the aberration of their rights. But what's happening is the people have no say. The people don't matter. And I think it's true in your country, from what I've observed. It's true in New Zealand. It's definitely true in Canada. It's true in the UK, and it's true in America.
And isn't it incredible that we're so far gone? And for David McBride, earlier, Dave Hodges was talking about some of his sources telling him that the real polling numbers for Joe Biden are so bad that could be as low as single digits. And therefore, if you're going to manipulate an election, therefore, using mail-in voting, that if you've got to find 60 or 70 million votes, I mean, how do you do it? And therefore, the suggestion, therefore, is that the only way to control an election is if you're at war in a pandemic, that you've got enough smokescreen that therefore to manipulate, because this is about power at this stage. If the deep state or the establishment were to lose power to an outsider again in Donald Trump, one would have to think that their days are numbered.
I agree with everything Dave says. It is about power, people behind the scenes. And having come from a different side of the world, but having been an insider in our machine, defense machine, which of course is very much part of the US machine, or a minor part, but we are really the same thing now. I agree with everything he says. And yes, distraction is the name of the game. And if they can come up with distraction, they've worked out owning media companies, or effectively owning them. So he's right. And it's a startling fact, isn't it? Because you don't meet any real people who actually like Joe Biden. And single figures is probably right. Maybe a few Hollywood stars who sort of like are in his camp, but generally, but they will somehow put it out there on, because they own all the sort of mainstream media, or they're all donors, etc. They all get tax breaks. And so you see, we are entering this dystopian world where what you're seeing on the 7:30 news up there with the sort of football match is just not even related to reality. I mean, we see that all the time when we see pictures of US cities downtown, and just the amount of homeless people and poverty and crime, and yet that's never played. They still send billions and billions and billions to Ukraine, and yet they've got such huge domestic issues, and they can't get enough news coverage to say to the politicians, we need to look after our own people first. So you and I, Dave Hodges has been saying it obviously for a long time. He's obviously very well connected. I know, and it's frustrating that we are on the fast train to dystopia, where the people don't really have any power.
And here we are, Dave. We're just down to our last 2 minutes for our time together, and I just want to thank you for staying on for the second hour. But as you get off, and it's late Friday night where you are now, and we're obviously watching closely, what are you looking for in terms of developments, perhaps, as to what might give up where we're going in the attacks, or is it a case of just wait and see?
You know, as we've seen this unfold tonight in the Middle East in this crisis, I don't know that this is going to go directly to major conflict, but I do see it as the aligning of forces, like Turkey coming in and saying, hey, don't fly over our airspace. Citizens being told by their home countries, don't go to this place, don't go to that place. I see the sides being drawn for what's coming. I'm not so sure we're going to see a major conflict in the next day or two, but I think we're headed in that direction quite clearly.
And there it is. And David McBride, we've only got about 60 seconds left. You've obviously seen what's going on now. Are you confident or not confident that this thing is going to escalate and escalate quickly?
Oh, look, I agree with my brother in the US, David. It's going to escalate. We saw that in Ukraine. I think they would have liked to have kicked off a war in Taiwan if they can't do it. Middle East is just as good. The profits are the same. And they've got a ready-made one prepared. And they know Australia's going to come in on their side, whatever the... And that's why the pressure on Albanese and Wong is so important, because they really need to make sure there's a united front. Because if Australia doesn't support America, America may be in quite a difficult position. They need those allies, and they will be putting a lot of pressure on Canberra to say, if things kick off, we need to not be a unilateral action of America. We need to call ourselves the coalition of the willing, even if Australia and New Zealand are very small countries, a long way away.
Absolutely. Well, we've reached the end of our time. And I just want to say thank you to David McBride for joining us late there in the show. And we wish you well in what's coming up for you in a couple of weeks' time. And to Dave Hodges from thecommonsenseshow.com, a wonderful time together today. Thank you very much for your time. We have to go. We're going straight to...